Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
There's a lot of praises to be sung when you're talking about Eric Zorn, one of the finest columnists the Chicago Tribune has ever had. Hi, Eric. How are you?
And one of the greatest fathers in all the land.
In all the land.
According to the song. I didn't write the song. I just have to accept the decision.
I get it.
The decision.
I get it. Eric, we want to talk about, as the year comes to a close in less than a month and a half, what the word of the year will be.
Well, every year there's a bunch of different publications and groups that list their word of the year. And this year, the Oxford Dictionaries have come out. They're the first ones out of the gate with the word of the year. And it's smart of them because they get all the coverage. You know, pretty soon, dictionary.com, Merriam-Webster, the Association of Advertisers, Global Language Monitor, all these places are going to come out with their word of the year.
Right.
Oxford Dictionaries got out first.
Very smart.
Very smart. So they got all the stories. And the stories were interesting for a couple of reasons. I'm just going to tell you what their choice was, because I think it's a lousy choice.
Oh.
It was post-truth, as in we are in a post-truth political age.
I don't get it. Sorry.
Well,
I really don't.
Truth doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it makes sense. I get what they're saying, which is that, you know,
another word for lies.
another word for lies. Well, but we're in a post-truth era, which means that, you know, Donald Trump can just say, I'm going to do this for you. It's not going to cost anything. I'm going to get rid of Obamacare. You're going to have great health care at, and you're going to pay less for it. Not factual.
Right.
People don't care. We're post-truth. And the problem with that is that it's a little bit like the word of the year from about 10 years ago, which was truthiness. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was
Stephen Colbert's
thing, which is like something that isn't actually true, but it feels true. So but the other thing is, like, I don't really – have you heard people talk about, hey, we're in a post-truth era?
I've only heard that phrase once before. You just mentioned it now.
I've never heard it.
But anyway, I
don't like it. I'm not going
to
use it.
Good. Well, there you go. But I wanted to take you guys through the I have my own nominee. And we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe after the commercial, which would be
all right.
Exciting.
Look at the tease already.
People would be like waiting in their cars.
That's a tease of a tease.
I know. We're going to get to it.
That's pre-tease.
There were nine other words that made their short list. I want to see if you guys even know what these mean. Alt-right was one of them. You guys know what that is, right?
Yes.
The nice name for white nationalism.
Yeah.
Glass cliff.
So that's like a glass ceiling, but the almost the opposite.
Well, it refers to this thing that apparently is a phenomenon which they promote women to high levels of responsibility, generally in times of great peril, so that they end up going over the glass cliff. They're promoted to this great position, but it's at a time that's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Now, I had not heard about that.
I've not heard of that.
But it does make sense. They said that women get these jobs in terms of times of crisis or downturn, and the risk then of failure is the highest.
So they're blamed for that?
So they're blamed for it, So
well,
they get.
Is there an example that comes to mind immediately? I'm trying to think of a clear-cut example.
Well, who was the woman who took over Yahoo when it was...
Oh, right. I don't know her name either.
But we ought to know her name. We're in the news business.
But she was not chosen because she was a woman, was she?
I don't think anyone says, like, let's blame it on women. But apparently this is a pattern that has developed.
All right.
Now, Hygge, it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E.
I don't know what that is. That would be an awful word of the year.
Yeah. It's Danish, and it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, and it refers to a feeling or mood that gives you genuine pleasure, makes ordinary things feel beautiful or special. The Telegraph, Great Britain's publication, says it's the absence of anything annoying or emotionally overwhelming, taking pleasure from the presence of gentle, soothing things. Candlelight is Hygge. Bakeries are Hygge. Dinner with friends is Hygge.
That's stupid.
I'm not subscribing to this at all.
I don't like it at all. It's one of the things I think, this is the word of the year. You think, I have never heard. How could it be the word of the year? I've never heard it.
You use words almost every day.
Most of the time I do.
Like Zen would be better. I'm sure that's been a word before, but.
But not the word of the year. It's not one that's emerging. But anyway, chatbot is another one, which is, of course,
chatbot.
Isn't that what I am?
No. It's a computer program that emulates speech. Where you are
like Siri,
kind of like that. Yeah, adulting as a you know, like we were adulting this weekend, meaning that you do things that are like an adult. It's kind of a funny word, meaning like
that's not the funny example at all. Was
adulting so hard. I bought a leaf blower and I increased my contribution to my 401k.
I don't think I'd be friends with somebody who'd said that sentence.
I think you wouldn't be.
That's because you don't ever want to do the adulting.
No, I don't ever. Never.
Brexiteer.
Oh, interesting. So that's somebody behind the Brexit
movement?
Someone
who was in favor of the Brexit movement.
Right.
Woke. That's a good one. Woke is I think it's a plausible.
Woke.
Meaning got up?
Woke. No.
What does that mean?
All right.
W-O-K-E?
W-O-K-E. Like, I'm woke.
Is a slang term?
Aware of?
Let's ask Kevin if he knows. Ask Kevin.
Kevin. Do you know... Woke. I'm woke, yo.
If you're
you just woke Kevin, by the way.
I didn't even look. I sensed Kevin behind me rolling his eyes.
What does that mean, Kevin?
I know the context. I don't know if I could describe well, but if you're woke, you're like, you're kind of, I don't know, you're like raging almost. Is that accurate?
Well, no, it's more like you're aware.
Tuned in.
You're sensitive to the political discourse, to racial injustice, racial tension. You're aware of that. The New York Times says you should think of woke as the inverse of politically correct. If politically correct is a taunt from the right, woke is a way of patting yourself on the back, saying that you're sensitive to what's going on.
You can't say aware of?
It came out of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right. I'll start saying that then.
Seriously, yeah.
That's, pretty, woke. Too,
that's pretty Hugo.
This one is...
Wait, hold on, Eric. There's more.
There are more.
Freeze.
There are more.
Do the mannequin challenge.
And I will. That's a good one. I'm not going to tell you until you run some commercials.
That's the way it should be. Eric Zorn is here. Listen to him. He's feisty and he's Hugo all at the same time. We'll take a quick break and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. Eric Zorn is here of the Chicago Tribune. He's accusing us of being too slick,
people in history. People are turned off by the slickness.
By the slickness of the show. Eric, you were discussing Oxford every year puts out. Now, this is the dictionary, not the university and not the shoe company, but the actual dictionary Oxford. They put out a list of what their candidates are for the word of the year.
Well, they name the word of the year, and they also they don't even put any no tension about it. They don't say here are the finalists. Drum roll,
they should
please.
Do some build up toward
they
it.
They should be like a red carpet thing,
right?
Where people dress as the word.
Yeah,
someone
that would be fun.
Yuga.
Post truth is this year's word of the year. Like it or lump it, it's post truth.
Post truth, meaning right. that we are in a state of where facts don't matter anymore. Politicians
nope.
can tell you anything, and you'll just believe
the
it.
The truth is old news.
Well, and also it gets into this whole business that we've been talking a lot about fake news.
Right.
You know, where you see a story on Facebook and you forward it to all your friends and it turns out, gosh, the Amish did not endorse President Trump.
Right.
How could that possibly be?
Right.
Are we ready for take two?
Yeah.
Okay, take two. Wendy, aren't you going? I thought you
could... Oh, no, I'll do this later.
Oh, I thought you'd do it now.
No, we have time. We'll do it.
Oh,
man. Sorry.
Okay, I thought you meant take two on the words.
Take
yeah,
two on the words.
Go.
Okay, we'll take two on the words. Here's the last couple of finalists. One. This is stupid. It's coulrophobia, C-O-U-L-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. And it means fear of clowns.
Oh, well, that's been going around forever.
But it was a big news story for a while this year, right?
Oh, right, clowns.
The menacing clowns, but I would never put a word to that, coulrophobia.
Is it fear of clowns or is it dislike of clowns? Because I think more people dislike them than they are afraid of them.
I'm scared.
Are you afraid of them?
Yes,
yeah.
I'm afraid of them.
Kind of both.
Yeah?
Kind of both.
A little bit?
Mostly
right.
dislike.
Okay.
Clowns, mimes, no.
Because you're not seeing the real person. You're seeing someone who is camouflaged. You don't know what they really look like. You don't know what they're thinking. That's why I'm afraid of them. Same with mascots.
Yeah.
I can't make eye contact with them.
And the last finalist here is it's actually a pretty good word. I'd never heard it. It's Latinx.
Having to do with people of Latin culture?
Yes, close. It's the gender-neutral alternative to Latino or Latina.
Latinx.
Latinx. It's gender-neutral, and it came out of the the queer community, basically.
Yeah.
Did they combine Hispanic and Latino-Latina?
No, they just added the X to the...
Ending with an X, not an ICS.
I hadn't heard that. I just wanted to point out that if you look back at some of these words of the year that just didn't stand the test of time, in 2000 it was Chad.
Yeah, the hanging Chad.
Right.
In 2006 it was Plutoed, meaning
because Pluto was
demoted or devalued, like it happened to the former planet. 2011, the word of the year was Occupy. Remember the Occupy Wall Street?
Sure.
Yes.
But
it's like, I feel like the word of the year ought to be something that...
It's timeless.
Yeah, like hashtag was the word of the year a couple of years ago. I think hashtag is going to last for a while. So anyway.
All right. So this year, as you pointed out, the word of the year, according to Oxford's dictionary, is post-truth. You have a better idea, though?
I think the word of the year, and it's a kind of a late nominee, but I think it should be normalize. And we're talking a lot about normalizing Donald Trump. And people are saying, well, don't normalize a lot of the things that he has said. I've heard that word a lot mm-hmm. in the last couple of weeks. And usually in a you know sensible conversation, used in a way that is sharply pointed at this exact question, which is how much do we say that, okay, what Donald Trump has been saying is okay, and the campaign that he ran was normal, and this is just another normal transition of power. And there are a lot of people, and I'm kind of one of them, who thinks this is not a normal time in American politics. And if we say, oh well, yes, it was perfectly fine for him to, you know, call out, you know, to tweet the way he tweets, this vindictive kind of tweeting that he does, and you know, his embrace of this alt-right movement, the winking that he's done at some of these fringe groups. This is not a normal time. And so to normalize him, say, oh, he's just another politician, we'll give him a chance.
Right.
Let him see what he does.
Right.
I think there's a strong resistance to that. I mean, we're saying, like, no, he has had his chances. He had his chances to become presidential when he was nominated. When he finally won the nomination, he appealed all the crazies in his party and got that nomination. He had a chance to pivot, become presidential. He had a chance after he was elected to become more presidential. And he's tweeting out, and I think you said you talked about this earlier in the show, where, you know, he's offended by a skit on Saturday Night Live, and he's in his, you know,
he says it's one-sided.
In his bedroom, tweeting out angrily, "I want equal time on Saturday Night Live."
He's going to be made fun of whether people like him or not on all of these types of shows. Barack Obama was made fun of, and despite the fact that they liked him. That goes with the territory.
It's part of the job. It's what you sign up for. And there's a broader question that I have that has to do with, you've heard that he now kind of doesn't want to live in the White House full-time.
Yeah, he's going to live in New York.
Melania and what's the 10-year-old? Barron are going to live in New York.
Right.
So he can keep going to the same school.
Right.
And he wants to commute on weekends.
Which they estimated, if he serves a four-year term, would cost the American public in upwards of $10 million to keep him going back and forth. That seems fair.
Well, and the headache. I mean, you know, when Obama would come back to Chicago,
yeah.
and he lives down in Kenwood, but people down there, it was like it turns into an armed camp, and you understand why. I mean, you have to have a lot of security for the president of the United States. They're blocking off Fifth Avenue, and that's right. A major artery in New York. New Yorkers are furious about this.
Yeah,
I can imagine. Now when he's there, and they're imagining if he comes back every weekend, he's going to be like one of those congressmen. Who, you know, yeah. they sleep in their offices in Washington, and then on the Thursday afternoon, if they
Bolt.
Get the first plane back home.
I'm telling you, Trump and I are so similar. When I ran for class president freshman year, I just wanted to win. I didn't want any of the job that came with it. And I really kind of believe he seems overwhelmed and has mentioned the fact that this is a huge job.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he actually, you know, wants to do all the things that he's got to do.
Right.
To be president.
I wouldn't want to do that, man. Who would?
Well, I have the same question about the governor of Illinois. Who'd want that job?
Yeah.
They have this thing last week where Dick Durbin said, you know, I think it was about a week ago now, he said mm-hmm. he was reelected to his leadership post in the Senate. He said, I'm not going to run for governor of Illinois. He'd been kind of signaling he wasn't going to. And all of a sudden, there's just all these people saying, oh, maybe he'll run, maybe she'll run. And I go, really?
Why?
Who wants that job? The state is in such a terrible condition.
I know.
Give someone
the job so it can be a glass cliff for them.
Glass cliff, yes.
I learned from you, Eric.
Robin Kelly.
Go back a little bit to the tweets that Trump is very fond of sending out. In every tweet where he gets defensive, he always throws in a dig. Like in this one about Hamilton, he mentions that he's heard that it's overrated.
Overrated.
He's not seen it, but people have told him it's overrated. When he blasts Saturday Night Live, he always takes a shot at how
it's not funny anymore.
It used to be funny. It's not funny anymore. There's always a little bit of a, even though he's trying to just defend himself, there's just enough of a dig so you know. So why is he even watching Saturday Night Live? Doesn't he have other things to be
working
on right now?
Don't you get the feeling? I understand. I've started paying much more attention to the show Morning Joe on MSNBC.
Yeah,
you guys ever
Joe
see
Scarborough.
That? There was a podcast. They podcast the audio of it, which is how I follow it. And the reason I'm paying attention to it is that I'm told that he watches that show every morning and that essentially Joe Scarborough is the host, is the Trump whisperer because he's a Republican.
Oh.
He's a former Republican congressman.
Yeah.
And so that when he is talking to the national audience, he's actually talking to Trump. And Trump is perhaps listening to him. Like this morning he's carrying on about Mitt Romney would be a great choice for Secretary of State. That would show the public that you know, you're a serious person, and these other choices show the public that you're not a serious person. I'm paying attention to this because you get the feeling that he's just consuming media.
That's where he's getting his news.
He's too busy to go to fight his lawsuit, right? He settled his lawsuit for $25 million.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's guilty.
It doesn't mean he's guilty.
Most harmful part of that is no admission of guilt for something that he's obviously guilty about. I understand the way the judicial system works, but that's unfair. To just part of his deal is I don't have to admit, no one has to
he's
say I'm
too
guilty.
Busy. He doesn't have time to research it.
He's got to watch Saturday Night Live. The truth is, though, do you watch Saturday Night Live at all?
Yes, religiously.
Yeah, I do too. I still watch it. I DVR it, of course, because I'm sound asleep by 10:30 on Saturday night. But the thing is that if you watch the talk shows the next morning, the Sunday talk shows, they're often playing clips from Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live, you know, for all you can say about it, it still sets the tone, the satirical tone, and these Alec Baldwin skits with Trump. They were playing those clips like in all the talk shows that I saw. So it is really, you know, setting that tone.
Yep.
But Trump, not just letting this insult to Mike Pence responded pretty well on Face the Nation. He said, you know, hey, well, they can say what they want. It's not a big deal. Trump is having a little hissy fit, and you just got to be bigger than that. And if you are going to have a hissy fit, have it in private.
Have it on Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah. This is going to be the president.
That should be the word of the year, hissy fit.
Got to take away
that should be it. Eric, thank you. Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune. Listen to his podcast. It's Mincing Rascals. It's fantastic. We'll be back and find out what Suzanne Muchen has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.